If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
You know, and this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you.
Allison, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Any new horrors of the week for you to deal with aside from the ongoing nightmare that is living in 2023 America?
Oh boy, you're covering a lot of ground with that. You know, I there is a spider in my bathroom and I keep I don't want to squish it. It's too, you know what it is? It's so big. It feels like, and this
How
is
big?
Pathological. Like a nickel?
Like a quarter? A nickel?
Not a quarter. I'd be dead. I would say a nickel.
But it's pretty big for a bathroom spider.
And I presume it's, but then I'm like, I don't know enough about spiders. And I do know.
I don't know anything about spiders.
At Cricket, the CEO's dog got bit by a brown recluse spider and had to be rushed to the vet.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's a brown recluse because I Googled those. I think it's a wolf spider. But I can't catch it, and it's almost like because it's so big, it feels like it has a soul.
Yeah. There is
like it's a fruit fly, I'd kill it. It's like big enough that I'm like, you're a person of some kind to me.
There is like a bug size that once you're there, you're like, oh boy, there's a lot happening inside of you.
Yeah.
It's more than just like a being that dies every 3 days anyway. Like the like fruit flies only live for a couple of days. So
born
you're like,
to
I don't know.
Fucking die. You know what I mean? Aren't we all just fruit flies out here, Allison?
This is
fucking
true.
And dying. But yeah, it's sort of become a companion of mine, and then I lost track of it, but I know it's in there. Mm. And it has become my foe and my good friend.
You don't need an enemy in the bathroom.
I'm my own enemy in the bathroom there, Allison. I'll tell you that right now. Other than that, I don't know. I'm just working. I'm going to take off a week of work at the end of April. I think this will be coming out then. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to do a little staycation.
I love that.
Yeah, work on the movie we're writing. And, just really try to put things together, which I'm excited about. What about you? Did anything horrifying happen to you? Anything
kind of dark and
macabre?
Kind of just something living in my brain that's terrorizing me. It's that I live in a rather big apartment building. It's not a walk-up. Like, it's seven stories, and we have an elevator and all that. And we get, like, notices sometimes where it's like, oh, like, you know, we have to shut off the water, blah, blah, blah. But, like, we got one that was, like, just a reminder to please, like, respect your neighbors from a sound standpoint. That means no loud music. They gave they were like between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. Like, you really shouldn't be making loud noises. That includes stomping around and like dropping weights. And like, I do not stomp around. If I'm in here, I'm sitting. And I don't have hand weights in here, but I am a little afraid. And I have no idea who is complaining or who's talking, but like, it's, you know, it's hard when you get the building wide email to not be like, it's me. You know?
I would assume. Absolutely.
In the words of Taylor 100%. Swift, I'm the problem. It's me. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid that it's Riz because he like,
no. Oh, cause he jumps on the ground.
Cause he like sprints around and like jumps on and off like high surfaces at really annoying hours. And I'm wondering if my downstairs neighbor is hearing, you know, it's like, he's little, he's a little cat, but like, it's still like a thud.
Right. If you were dropping a 5-pound weight, it would still make a noise.
Exactly. And like, he's not as dense as a weight, so it probably wouldn't be quite, it's probably still different, but like, I do have this
leave
fear.
Leave him alone! Just post a big crazy handwritten sign, leave my cat alone!
Yeah, I'm like, it's Riz, he's living his life, do not bother him. If he has 4 a.m. Zoomies where he has to parkour around the apartment like a maniac, like, I can't really stop that.
And why, my God, it's his only pleasure in life. Let him just run around.
Right.
I think you got to go on the offense. I think you got to go there with a bunch of crazy sides. I think you got to be accusing other people. You got to just be like, don't take it on yourself. You got to
take control of this narrative.
100%. And I want to see, like, it looks like it could be written in blood. Like, I want signs like, my cat's allowed to run. My cat's name is Riz. He has a tuxedo. Like, really, like we said, how you were afraid of the birds and the tree outside.
Yes.
I think you go full New York you see that sign, they're like, I'm not going to mess with that
lady. Be a psycho in the building. Yeah, because I just like, I hope it's like, I'm sure it's actually somebody playing music and having people over. Like, I'm sure it's not actually my 8-pound cat that's like ruining somebody's life. But it might be. And I just like don't want that to be true because like I actually have, not even because I like don't want him to get yelled at, I guess is my fear, but like I can't stop it.
Right. Like, there's simply nothing you can do.
Like, I'm not going to put him in a cage. I'm not going to, like, you know, he's a cat. He's free rolling around.
And I do like the idea that the super would come and scream at your cat and tell him to knock it off.
Be like, Riz, knock it off. Get in line. But I'm like, look, I would love if he would not be running around and jumping on and off things in the middle of the night. It would make my life easier.
Well,
I'll update everybody as this unfolds. If it becomes a repeated, if I ever find out that it is me, I will definitely own up to that. And Riz and I will take the necessary measures to right this horrible wrong that he might be causing.
Do you think it's because we're women that we both immediately would be like, it was me. I did the bad thing. I have to repent. Or is it like just like an American thing? Because I know I would do the exact same thing. It was me. I probably flushed the toilet too hard and the building exploded.
I think there is part of it as being women. I think part of it is being American. I think part of it is just like our personalities of being rule following people.
Boo to our personalities.
Yeah. So I don't know. But Riz is, he's resting in a circle right now. So he's so fuzzy.
This reminds me of, I think we've talked about this on the pod, so I apologize for repeating myself. Though, if you listen to, I listen to Trixie and Katya's podcast, which is so funny. They tell the same stories over and over again, and I never get tired of hearing them. So I'm going to channel that energy. But this is years ago. I had OCD-like symptoms, which I'm not going to like, cleared up when I came out. Take that for what it will, what you will. And I was obsessed with like leaving the stove on because I was doing a lot of cooking. I was living I had a studio.
I panic every time I leave the house because of that.
Yeah. And there was one day I was going out into Queens. I was not going to be able to, it wasn't like I could get home really quickly. Right. And I was like, fuck, I cooked last night. Did I leave convinced I left the oven on. I get to work and open up my laptop and a building has exploded because of a gas explosion. It was the one that was on Second Avenue years ago.
Yeah, I remember that. And that
was like, the landlord was like basically stealing gas and then like reconnected it in a way that was like, it was a horrible situation. Two people died. In that moment, Allison, I knew it was my building and I knew it was my oven. Like, I was like, I did. It was me.
Right.
I have to go to prison forever. And then it wasn't. But the moment of conviction still stays with me of like, this was my fault and I did this.
I think it's a very human reaction.
Boy, are we dumb.
Yeah. We have another live show coming up. Our online live show is coming up Sunday, April 30th at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And we are ruining The Pope's Exorcist.
Directed by Julius Avery, starring Russell Crowe as Father Gabriel Amorth. Great Pope's Exorcist name. And I think like the title implies he is an exorcist of the Pope and perhaps for the Pope. The Pope. Ooh, fingers crossed. You know, I gotta imagine the Pope becomes possessed in this.
Yeah,
if not, what the fuck are we doing?
Seriously.
And we are in a real Pope moment, a real nun moment, I feel like. The Pope's Balenciaga AI coat, which, again.
Cunt. Get tickets at moment.co/ruined for April 30th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. That's such a backwards, terrible way of saying that for somebody who's on the East Coast. And we'll have all the fun of our regular online live shows. So get tickets for that.
Allison, thank you for keeping us on track. That was excellent. That was truly exceptional.
Also, never.
No, I know. That's why my jaw fucking dropped. That was incredible.
Wild just to do administrative work.
But we did it, and I couldn't be happier. And we couldn't be happier to have you join us for our live shows, which are always a lot of fun.
They're a blast.
The Pope's. I as a Catholic, when I see the word Pope or the word exorcist, you know, I'm signing up for it.
I just think that Catholicism is so right for horror. Like,
it is.
Judaism isn't quite. Dark. It's like, there's like Dybbuk. So, like, there's like stuff, but like Catholicism is just like, it's perfect for it.
Yeah, it's funny. Someone was tweeting something, which is also, I think, part of this. It's like, when someone, you find out someone was raised Catholic, what they're really telling you is, I definitely have a kink and it's one of the weird ones. And there is something about Catholicism because it is so dark and so morbid and it's so early. You're entered into a situation of sin and repentance. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's good for the human brain. Certainly wasn't mine. That's why I thought the oven blew up. I was like, well, it's on me. God punished me for using my oven. And yeah, now people are dead. That's on me. I'm a monster. I am a creature, and I have to go tell a priest about it.
Yes.
So you come and again, you can tell a priest about it together at our live show. But the movie we are doing this week is The Hunt, which of course stars Betty Gilpin. It was written by Nick Coos and Damon Lindelof. Mm-hmm. It was directed by Craig Zobel. And if you recall, this had a whole sort of like kerfuffle.
There was a lot of controversy. And even before we get into it, I would like to plug Betty Gilpin's book. It's a book of essays called All the Women in My Head. She is not only an incredible actress, she is an absolutely brilliant writer. I read it in one day. She's so, so funny. It's so, like, I think for women, but also, like, anybody kind of just living in the world, like, she just has such great insights about, like, what it's like to be alive and what it's like to be depressed and what it's like to have a body. And she's just really great. And, like, I could not say more good things about that book. So,
ooh, okay, good.
So get it off bookshop.org.
Yeah, thank you for hyping. I don't think I ever heard about that.
Oh, it's so good.
Wonderful. Okay.
But yeah, this movie, I remember the contract because it was supposed to come out earlier and then, like, I believe the right kind of tried to shut it down. And I know there were production things and then it ended up coming out, like, and she writes about the release of this movie in her book and how, like, challenging it was and how she feels about it.
Yeah, so if you remember, this was during Trump's reign of terror. Basically, the issue, this is like, this is August 2019 is sort of when this first started to become an issue. And then it lasted for months. Like, so in the movie, they make a reference to deplorables. And that, of course, was a reference to Hillary Clinton using the term basket of deplorables to describe Trump supporters. I have no problem saying now, absolutely, that's what ended up happening. I mean, like, if you're going to look me in the fucking face and say that wasn't fucking deplorable what all these motherfuckers believe, you're wrong. But it is interesting, basically, like, right-wing, you know, outlets caught up, and they're like, oh, my God. So the premise of it is, fundamentally, like, there are these deplorables, quote-unquote, you know, people from rural, specifically people from rural America who have written something negative about an America's elite in this movie, who is sort of embodied by Hilary Swank, and sort of... But of course, the joke of it is that all of these elite, while they might claim to be liberal and have these right-minded ideas, are also, because of their wealth, complete monsters. So the deplorables are, of course, the victors. And of course, it turns out they are also more complicated. So what the introduction to the idea, much like every fucking horror movie is, you get the log line or you see one word. That's not what a fucking movie is.
Right. It's so much. It's good. It's 90 minutes. You read one sentence. Like, there's going to be more going on than just what you said. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and we all know that now. But yeah, Universal, like, essentially canceled it for a while. And, like, they just didn't want to deal with it. And, you know, they did end up releasing it. And I believe it was released. Yeah, it was supposed to. It came out in March of 2020. So then it was like, it got delayed. And then when it did come out, it was like, it was like the pandemic.
To nothing.
Exactly. So there was, it is just funny because I found this article. It was like, Jason Blum, like, basically is like, oh, the controversy tanked the movie. It's like, well, sure, it delayed the movie, but what tanked the movie is the COVID, pandemic, which tanks so many fucking movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think much like everything on right-wing media, you do have to consume or interact with content to understand what the fuck we're talking about. Obviously, it's not about just hunting Trump supporters.
Right.
You know, across America. It is also about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a way where they are characters and they are embodied and they have to, you know, sort of rise above in their own way. So, and Betty Gilpin is our main character. She's fucking so good in this.
She's
I want
so
to see
good.
Her in, because I saw her, I didn't conclude, but I watched a little bit of
Glow. Yeah.
I just was not in the mood for it. I like wrestling, but it just wasn't my vibe. And I don't really watch dramas. Like, I watch horror and I watch comedy.
Comedies. I watched Glow and was a big fan. Plenty of missteps and obviously criticisms, but like she is undeniably a powerhouse actress in it.
A fucking star. And this movie, because it is a horror movie, but it is an action horror, made me want to see Betty Gilpin in her Taken. You know what I mean? I want to see her fucking kicking ass, you know? And she does a lot of TV as she's doing Mrs. Davis, but I guess she doesn't do a ton of... Oh, she's in the Tomorrow War, which I haven't seen. I guess I could watch that and see her kicking ass. Is it worth it? Yeah, I'll watch the Tomorrow War and just to see Betty Gilpin.
Sure.
And I absolutely will watch Mrs. Davis now that I know that it's about nuns. But yeah, so the controversy, again, looking back, simpler times. You know what I mean? It feels like, to be, like, before the pandemic, be concerned about that kind of shit. Like, ridiculous. But let us begin. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what did you think of the trailer of The Hunt?
I mean, fun. It's like so nice to see like comedy people in. And I know that this is like satirical. And I feel like I've seen a lot of like clips of this movie just because it was so controversial.
Yeah.
There was so much like released kind of like to address, like I feel like it's very familiar. But like Glenn Howerton and I forget the name of the actor who's in Veep, who plays like Selena's boyfriend for a while. Like, there's just so many like good people in this.
We've got Ike Barinholtz. We got Emma Roberts.
Ike Barinholtz.
Sturgill Simpson. Ethan Suplee. I think is how you pronounce it. He's been in everything. Wayne Duvall. Yeah, a really fun mix of character actors and Amy Madigan. A cast of thousands and people that whatever your feelings about this movie, you're glad they're getting work. That's what I thought. I'm like, I'm glad
people are, I'm like, Glenn Howard's them a job.
This. Exactly. And then Allison, how we also take a baseline scary. How scary do you find the concept of hunting humans for sport?
I mean, I don't like it.
I don't hate it.
You don't hate it.
I would be, if someone were like, I would hunt you for sport, and if you escape, I would.
There wouldn't be a lot of sport to hunting me.
Yeah, I guess I'm really giving myself a lot of credit.
You block off the whole afternoon. It probably takes 4 minutes. Like, it's just not, I'm not running.
Yeah, if I got like a little bit of lead time, I would just hide under like a bush, realistically.
Yeah, I'd be a hider.
I would not want to hunt a human.
No.
But to be hunted, if there was some sort of cash prize. Would I do it? I probably would.
I mean, it's giving the little Hunger Games.
Yes.
And which has a whole different take. But it's scary.
It's like I would say Hunger Games is not pro hunting people for sport. It reminds me of The Running Man, the Stephen King book. Or I guess it's Richard Bachman. So I think that's sort of where we're starting. It's an oft-visited idea, like something that is terrifying. And I think for me, there's so many different films and TV shows about this. It does pose a challenge to making it scary, you know? Like, you really have to step it up in order for it to be anything. Whether this film does or not, well, we'll get to it at the end. In the meantime, would you like to guess the twist for 2020's The Hunt, Allison?
Guess the twist.
I mean, from her book, I know that, like, she seems like a smaller character and then ends up being kind of, like, the hero of this movie. So I'm going to guess, like, that the people who they gathered, who are, you know, I would assume, like, stand-ins for Trump supporters, and are good people, and the elite liberals are bad people.
Yes, you are correct to think that. I do feel
that
like
might not be,
they
like, the
sort
big
of...
twist.
They sort of bobble a lot of that, where it's sort of like, if you just done another pass on the script, maybe we could have clarified some of that a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's fine. You know what I mean? I don't demand that much of any film, to be fair. So let's begin. Ruining The Hunt. We see Hilary Swank. She's our executive, our CEO. Her name is Athena. And she's texting her group chat of all coastal elites. And they talk about like, do you see what the rat fucker in chief, Donald Trump, what he was doing today? They're like, oh my God, day ruined, hate it, and everyone's like texting, whatever.
Yeah.
And finally, Athena says, At least the hunt is coming up. Nothing better than going out to the manor and slaughtering a dozen deplorables. And we see another character. We see like a list of names. One of them, Miranda. Miranda says, we talked about not discussing the hunt on text. And everyone's like, viva la hunt, you know, replying, whatever. Cut to an amount of months later, we see Richard, played by Glenn Howerton, wake up on a plane to immediately be rude to a flight attendant. There's not a moment perfect. Where he is not awake and not being rude to a flight attendant.
He's so perfect great. For that.
He's so funny. And she offers him caviar, but he's like, you know, I just had fish. I had that caviar last night. Do you have like a Mediterranean plate with some grilled vegetables or like maybe a small fish? And she says, well, again, no, we're in an airplane, so we don't have a full kitchen.
Just whatever's here.
So yeah, absolutely not. And she said, I can get you a glass of champagne. And he's like, oh my God, is that champagne the 1907 Heidsieck? And she says, oh, I don't think so. He's like,
a German sub sank a ship on the way to Tsar Nicholas II. A couple years back, they found the wreck and a case of the 1907 Heidsieck. Athena bought 3 bottles at $250,000 per. And no one even knows what the stuff tastes like.
And again, the flight attendant's like, no, it's just regular champagne. I'm not giving you whatever the fuck you're talking about. Like,
it's not that.
However, she starts to pour him, and in the classic movie moment, overpours. He's like, you're overpouring! But then he looks up, and she's staring at the back of the plane. Everyone turns, and we see everyone who's seated there is one of the coastal elites from the text chain. Mm-hmm. And we see a bearded man in a flannel shirt. Again, one of our real Americans, yeah. Our regular fucking Americans, staggering, still half-drugged, out of like a closet in the back of the plane, shouting, like confused, and they all jump up. And so we've got Ted, Liberty, Martin, the flight attendant, and Richard. And they go, Ted, who is a doctor, goes over to the man, who, and he's like, what's your name? And then the guy says, I'm Randy. Doesn't even know where he is. He's like, why am I here? Ted said, don't worry, we're on an airplane. I think you're having some sort of episode. He gets a towel and lays it down. It's like, I'm going to have you lie down the aisle. And he says, the flight attendant, can you hand me a pen? And he tells Randy, I'm going to put you back to sleep now because you got up a little too early. And he takes the pen, and I thought was going to ram it in his eye. Yeah. Allison, he stabs it in Randy's throat, which doesn't immediately kill him, but then just starts sending burning a geyser blood. Of blood.
Yeah, obviously. You're a doctor. Like, you should know that that's what's going to happen.
I was like, I've never killed someone. I absolutely know you stab it in the eye. When you stab it in his throat? Also, the force you need to get through the neck.
The eye is...
Come on. Easier. Come on, Ted. Like the first time you killed somebody or something.
Work smarter, not harder.
So, obviously, Randy doesn't immediately die. He's able to... He grabs... The flight attendant has dropped the champagne bottle. He grabs it, bashes Ted in the face with it, shattering it, and then is enraged, drugged, bleeding, and has a broken champagne bottle. So he's like going after everyone. He turns around and Athena has arrived from another compartment in the plane and jams her stiletto heel into Randy's eye, incapacitating him. And everyone's kind of shocked and covered in blood. But we see Ted drag Randy to the back and throw him back in the closet and says, fucking redneck. And before he dies, we see Randy whispering, help me. But the other woman in the closet with him is already knocked out, right? That woman who is, most of the characters, as they won't be around for that long, are just giving monikers. So the woman who wakes up next to him, her name is Yoga Pants, is played by Emma Roberts. She wakes up in a field and she has sort of a gag padlocked to her head, which you saw in the trailer. That is such a potent horror moment. That I was kind of thrilled. I was like, ooh, to wake up in a field with a gag padlocked to your head, fucking that's terrifying.
Pretty scary.
And you're also just dressed for yoga. You know, like you clearly were not planning to be out here. And she looks over and she sees across the stream another woman, Betty Gilpin, whose name is Crystal, also trying to get her gag off. She sort of shouts to Crystal, but Crystal walks off on her own. Just in Yoga Pants sees another guy on the top of a hill and she kind of runs up and... She sees in a clearing all these different captives, all with gags, walking out of different areas of the forest towards the middle of the clearing, which has a gigantic box, like a box big enough to put a car in.
Okay.
With a crowbar leaned up against it. A big mystery box. Servant sort of walks over to it. One of the captives go to pry it open, but there's this other guy, who later we find out his name is Don, says, it's probably a trap. And he's trying to talk with his Gagin, and he's shouting, it's a trap, it's a trap. Finally, everyone sort of like decides, we're either going to stand here or we're going to run. And everyone else runs into the underbrush just in case it explodes. And fair. The one captive pries it open, and something walks out. Allison, what is inside the box that walks out?
Is it a pig?
It's a little pig in a dress.
Little piggy. It's in the trailer.
Dang it. Okay. I didn't watch the trailer, so I was like, oh.
Little piggy. Little pigs are so cute.
And the pig has an outfit, and they never really address why the pig has an outfit, except it is an allusion to Animal Farm.
Yes.
But it's sort of like, again, what is the allusion? Like, what are we? It's sort of like, hey, you know,
right, you're referencing it, but why?
To what end? And the pig scampers away into the woods, and the captive reaches inside and pulls out this gigantic rolling rack covered in weapons. So mostly guns, but also machetes. And all the captives run over because everyone instinctively knows, uh-oh, we're all going to need a weapon for what's about to happen.
Yes. If the weapons are there, you best grab one.
And Yoga Pants runs over. She's kind of the last one, but she sees a little envelope taped to the back of the door or the side they wrenched off. And inside it is the keys to the gags. So everyone passes them around and helps each other take their gags off. And of course, everyone runs over and she refuses to take a gun at first, but there's another captive. His name is Don, says, you just fucking take it. If you have a trigger finger, you could use a gun. You don't have to know. And another captive who's referred to as Trucker teaches her to take the safety off. So at least they're all working together, trying to figure out like, okay, fuck this.
And just like, it's like, oh, we're all safe. Like, no suspicions that anybody among them is like who got them there.
Right. And unfortunately, they're going to be dealing with another problem in mere seconds, Allison, which is in the distance, they hear a shot and a bullet hits the box. And Yoga Pants sort of gasps like, oh my God, that almost hit me. Allison, the next bullet rips through her fucking skull.
Whoa.
And her head explodes open like a balloon full of blood and sprays the trucker's face while he's standing there looking at her. Fortunately, he's able to duck down. And again, everyone has to decide, are we going to try to hide behind the box while a sniper is shooting at us? Or are we going to make a run for it? Unfortunately, at least two of them make a run for it. They're gunned down.
Yeah.
We see a woman with a shirt that says dead sexy run and sort of fall into a ditch. And the trucker's like, fuck. And he runs over to try to help her. She's actually fallen into a pit full of spikes. And in a way that in reality you would just die, there's a spike basically through her torso. You wouldn't be able to get out after. Like, I thought he was going to pull her up and her organs were falling out. Yeah. But he pulls her up. He's able to get her out. They take two steps, Allison. They step on a landmine. It explodes. And Ike Barinholtz, who is referred to as Staten Island, as someone from Staten Island, runs over to see if either of them are alive and then sees dead sexy's torso. Like, her legs have been blown off. And she says, shoot me in the head. And he says, I just met you. I can't do that. And she grabs his gun out of his hand and says, don't be a snowflake, and shoots herself in the head. Right? We're off to the races here, Allison. So Staten Island runs to this fence along with three other captives, beyond which there is just what looks like a regular country road. And he says to them, this is fucking Manor Gate. They're hunting us for sport. And they say, Manor Gate? Is that real? We're already getting the idea, like, this is a conspiracy online. This is an online, this is something that has been circulating in the months under, Trump's presidency. And they say, oh my God, is that real? It's like, it seems pretty fucking real.
You're all literally getting hunted right now. Like, trying to shoot us. Who cares who's doing it? You are getting hunted.
Exactly. Right, yeah, the where's and where are you doesn't really matter.
No.
So they go to climb the fence, only for one of the captives to get shot by an arrow. And he says, fuck this. So while the other three escape over the fence, he turns and he starts shooting down his assailant. It's all forest. You can't see where this is coming from.
Right.
Finally, he's shot with two arrows and he collapses, and then we see a grenade roll up to his head. And we sort of hear some of the elite's voices, like Liberty and Martin, are chatting off camera. They're like, did you even pull the pin? She's, oh, the pin. We see a second grenade roll up to his face, and it winces while it explodes. So we have our three captives who have escaped this initial onslaught.
Okay.
Ike Barinholtz of Staten Island, a woman named Big Red, and Vanilla Nice. A Vanilla Ice wannabe, I suppose.
Vanilla Nice. I wish more people had Nice in their name.
I know. Like, especially as a nickname.
Nice Cube?
That's cute.
Nice tea.
So they run into a little mom and pop gas station with their guns. And there is a literal mom and pop standing there, horrified behind the counter, and stands out and screams at them, "Where the fuck are we?" And he's like, you're outside Elaine. He's like, Elaine where? And they tell him, you're outside Elaine, Arkansas.
Oh, God.
And he says, I need a phone. We need to call 911 to report a murder spree. It's Manorgate. And they say, what's Manorgate? He says, just Google it. And he calls the 911 and tells the operator, we find out, like, all three of them are from a different state. And all of them have experience. They went out for drinks. They were out. And all of them were drugged and kidnapped and brought here. Mm. So they were targeted specifically, brought from, you know, Big Red's from Wyoming. He's from Staten Island. And he's screaming at the 911 operator, just please help us. And he said, and they said, what's the address there? And I'm like, just ask the mom and pop what the address is.
Yeah.
But Staten Island says, can't you just trace us? And the operator says, oh, that's a great idea. And that's at first, like, you see Stan Allen's face, who's like, that's not what a normal 911. Those are 911
operators. Quick, call 911. There's been an emergency.
That's how I remember it. It's hard to remember 911.
Yeah.
And of course, the pop behind the counter says, can you please stop waving your gun around? And Stan Allen says, it's fine. I own 7 guns. You're not in any danger. And Ma says, could I ask you why? Why you have 7 guns? He's like, well, because it's my constitutional right. Also, obviously, I needed to know how to shoot a gun. We're in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, not wrong.
And Ma says, well, yeah, but if you think about it, aren't the people hunting you also exercising their constitutional right? And he goes, excuse me? Just then, he turns and we see Big Red has opened up a package of powdered donuts, which looks so fucking good.
When's the last time you had a powdered donut? I can't think of it. It's been years and years and years and years.
I've definitely had donuts. I don't think I've had a powdered donut.
I haven't had a powdered donut in a long time.
High school?
With coffee?
Fuck. Say we will about Catholicism. After Mass, you would have donuts and coffee. And that really,
it is the thing.
It kind of made it all worth it. You know
what
I mean?
Catholicism and Judaism have in common. Donuts feature pretty large in our cultural history.
Yeah, and all the shame and the guilt and all that. That too, probably.
Yeah.
But he turns and we see Big Red's choking on a powdered donut. It is poisoned, Allison.
Okay,
it turns out this gas station is all a part of it as well. This is a fictional gas station that is set up for people who, when they escape the initial onslaught, they will immediately be delivered to the gas station.
Yes. I love a plan. I love when it's this thought out. Where it's like,
I agree. It's
there's
very
a
fun.
Gas station. The donuts in the gas station are poisoned. Like, it's perfect.
And when Staten Island turns around, he sees that Ma and Mom and Pop are wearing gas masks, and they hurl a canister of poison gas.
Oh.
And villainize. There's just total melee at this point. And at a certain point, Pop is standing over Vanilla Ice on the ground, and Vanilla Ice tells him, you're going to hell. And Pop snarls at Vanilla Ice, I don't believe in hell. I'm just like you tweet about me. I'm a godless coastal elite. And just for the record, climate change is real. Vanilla Ice, killed by gas. They dispatch Staten Island with a shotgun, and then they start cleaning up. And while they're cleaning up, Ma, they drag the bodies in the back, and Ma notices that Staten Island has a wedding ring. So it's like, oh, he was married. But look, Pop reassures her, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure he used the N-word, and not even privately, probably on Twitter. His ancestors probably enslaved black people. And then they have an argument like, well, we don't call them black people. We call them African-American. Actually, we do call them black people. This is what these characters are having this level of conversation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there is a lot to be said of, like, well-meaning liberals who do wield power and do unscrupulous things,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
But this kind of, like, NPR, like, semantic argument, I'll be honest, it gets a little old a little fast, if you ask me.
I agree.
But, you know, they do have some funny moments. And he's like, well, they said on NPR that you call them black people. It's like, well, who works at NPR? He goes, mostly white people. God damn it, you know. The idea of, like, trying to be woke in this, like, very specific way.
Getting caught up in you know, tiny word. Not that
language.
It is tiny to how you refer to yourself or to other people. But, like, not the, you know, focusing on the words and not the greater systemic problems.
Yeah. So, and that's, of course, the joke of it is, like, to care about these kind of things while you're literally
murdering
poisoning
people.
Exactly. Right then, they get a call on their walkie-talkie from Athena, letting them know that Crystal is almost there and is unarmed. And we see Crystal, who is Betty Gilpin, come in. She was the woman that Yoga Pants saw across the creek, she knew when she saw the box, don't go near the box. Mm. So she's been off on her own, and that is why she is probably still alive, you know?
Yeah.
She comes in, and unlike the other ones who arrived in a panic, she doesn't beg for help. She says, I would like to get a pack of smokes. And she pays, she doesn't have a wallet, but she has a $20 in her sock. She's like, I always keep it in my sock. And finally she says, where am I? And they say, you're in Arkansas. It's pretty crazy. You don't know where you are. Ma goes to hand Crystal her change for the pack of cigarettes. And we see Pop, like, in that moment, we see Crystal consider the amount of money that's being handed to her, and Pop puts his hand on the shotgun underneath the counter. Only for Crystal to just reach over and fucking slam Ma's head on the counter, snatch the shotgun out of Pop's hand, and fucking blows him away, and then turns to Ma, who's on the ground screaming, and Crystal screams, and this is like, I'm sorry, like, it is for Betty Gilpin. This movie is what it is. Betty Gilpin is a fucking star.
She's a star.
She screams, cigarettes are only $6 in Arkansas. You fucked up, bitch! And then just fucking shoots Ma by the face, and I'm like,
I love that.
Yeah, so those moments, I think, I'm like, that's why you're watching this movie.
Yeah, that's fun.
She then pops open the soft pack. There's not even a cigarette in there. And that's kind of a running theme of, like, her constantly trying to get a cigarette from somebody. She sort of stakes out the gas station. She finds the other captives' dead bodies in the back. She takes a shotgun and the couple's walkie-talkie. So now she can listen in on what the elites are saying about them.
Huge.
She goes to approach a couple's truck, which has an Arkansas license plate, but then she pulls it off and there is what is clearly a license plate from a European country. So it's not immediately obvious, but it is not an American license plate. They're not in America.
Okay, yeah.
She goes to open the driver's
door. This does seem like the kind of thing we would make legal, though.
I mean, it's purge adjacent, and I absolutely think the logic of why they're doing this, it's like, yeah, this, I could see somebody being like, but I'm rich, I'm allowed to do this.
Yes. Yes.
But I have power. Let me hunt people, you know? She's about to open the driver's side door when, again, she's incredibly perceptive, sees a extremely thin hair-sized wire connecting the front door, the driver's side door, to an explosive device.
Mm.
So, again, narrowly avoiding catastrophe at every chance. Athena calls the walkie-talkie, and Crystal hides in the underbrush. As the leads have a conversation on the walkie-talkies, they're like, oh, Crystal was walking towards the gas station. Does anyone have eyes on her? Did she actually go in? We're trying to get Ma and Pa to reply, but they haven't done it. And Crystal watches a drone hovering over the gas station. So basically trying to get footage. Then, the drone explodes, and another captive, Gary, has shot it out of the air. Crystal, on the recording, finds out the elites have nicknamed her Snowball. She pops up and she's like, hey, Gary, don't open the fucking door of that car. And he says, how do I know that you're not one of them? It's like, because I just told you not to open the door of the car. So right, you want to find out? Open it, bitch.
Test it. See what happens.
When you're blown into a million fucking pieces. She also yells at him for shooting the drone because now they know exactly where they are. So they have to head out together.
Very smart.
And they find train tracks, and she, again, is a very resourceful person, says, we're going to follow these train tracks to civilization, so we just got to fucking start walking, you know?
Yeah.
He's then the one who tells her about Manorgate. So basically, it's this online conspiracy theory that there is a manor in Vermont that is a site where elites go to hunt human beings for sport. And he's like, I didn't believe it was true, but now I'm starting to say, do you believe it? And she goes, I would, but we ain't in fucking Vermont, dude.
No.
Like, if anything, I'm like, there's definitely something going on. I don't know if it's that specific or what it is. Just then a train comes by, and they sprinter grab onto it. And I wrote in my notes here, do you think you'd be able to leap onto a moving train, Allison?
No.
And please be realistic. Okay,
no,
good. Yeah,
of
me
of course
either.
Not. If it was going 5 miles an hour, it would be a struggle for me to catch up with it.
I think I would grab on, and then I'd immediately fall
to
under the wheels and be,
and die.
I think I'd just be,
split in half.
Severed in half, absolutely. There's no conceivable way. So Crystal gets on, but Gary's dragging on the ground, and then luckily she's able to haul him up. Just then, they turn and realize that they are not alone in this train car. Mm. They find a group of Arabic-speaking refugees or immigrants that are taking refuge into whatever country they're in. Gary starts screaming, these are crisis actors. This is all part of it. Because he is reasonably enough paranoid. But of course, we're also mimicking, you know, like people who don't believe in Sandy Hook, yes, the QAnon of it all, the idea of like crisis actors.
Yeah.
Crystal's like, I don't know. They have a baby with them. We see a young woman with a baby. It's like, okay, so they have a crisis baby. Like, you cannot. And he's like,
all babies
yelling
are
at
crisis
them.
Babies.
I know, exactly. Is that baby SAG? And he's screaming, you know, they can't manipulate me into rethinking my concept of immigration. Like, how, like, fuck you guys. Just then, the train stops and it's a military stop. So the soldiers are pulling everyone out, ostensibly to take these refugees and make sure they don't go into whatever country they're entering, you know? Mm. And soldiers force everyone off the train. They do not speak English. Mm. And Crystal tells Gary, we have to leave our guns here or we are going to go to whatever jail of whatever country this is. So leave your fucking gun. He's like, we can't do that. I can't do it. It's like, we're going to be arrested. Like, yeah. I am not being put in, like,
whatever country prison.
Yeah, like, surviving only to be put into an international prison is not the
solution. That's not the answer.
But so they leave him behind, and the soldiers are being really rough with the refugees. And Gary tries to pull, like, can I speak to your manager? None of these people speak English. They're like, what are you talking about? And manager. He's like, I have a podcast where I uncover this exact kind of conspiracy. Like, yeah. Of oh my God, does. They're targeting me. These aren't even real immigrants. This is Mannergate. And, you know, but of course the soldiers are like, okay, so there's two crazy Americans like on this train. And they sort of walk away to discuss them. And one of the refugees turns and says to them in an American accent, I don't think they believe you, Gary. Allison, I'm going to ask you right now, what would you do?
What would you do?
Oh, God. I mean, I guess just turning around, like running. See how far I could get.
Just running into the underbrush.
I would just like keep my gun and run.
Yeah, I feel like, I guess you could be gunned down. I guess you probably would be gunned down by the soldiers.
It just seems like, no matter, like, continuing on this trajectory, it's clearly part of whatever's happening.
Yeah.
So may as well, like, try and make a run for it, because either way, it's kind of, like, lights out.
Yeah, unless you are Crystal, who is someone who has the fucking badass, has the fortitude, the skills, which we do not
intelligence.
Have.
So, yeah.
So it's almost like this is a moot question, because we would have been dead 10 times over before he hit with the ground.
Yeah, me
before,
and yoga pants would have been in the same boat.
Oh, yeah. I would be half of my body. I would still be alive. I'd be lying at the bottom of the fucking pit.
Yeah. Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan. And you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Gary, of course, flips out and starts screaming, but the crisis actor, who we find out his name is Mike, he's like, look, I'm fake, but the rest of these refugees are real, and the soldiers are real, too. The train wasn't supposed to stop. So, look, I'm going to give you guys a head start before I let them know that you're here, just in exchange, like, as a courtesy to you. Is that okay, buddy? And Gary screams, I'm not your buddy! And he grabs a grenade. There's so many grenades in this movie. He grabs a grenade off of Mike's bag and crams, or pulls the pin and crams it on Mike's pants. Everyone else sees this and runs screaming. And Crystal grabs the refugee woman with the baby and sort of like throws herself on top of her. And Mike explodes. So a bloody explosion, sending them everywhere. Needless to say, she is put on a military truck. So in the melee, we don't know what exactly happened to Gary.
Yeah.
She's taken to a refugee camp, which is, it is sad they have built a full refugee camp. And it does, it's like, again, you kind of wish like, well, if we're going to go there, we should actually do a movie about this. But, yeah. You know, we're just there for a minute and we're going to follow this white woman, obviously. And she's taken in front of these officials. She finds out for sure that they are in Croatia. Mm. And she tries to deduce it. She's like, Serbia. And finally she gets to Croatia. And they say, we need your papers. She says, I was abducted from America. I do not have my papers.
I didn't bring my license.
Please take me to the American embassy. And they say, they're smoking cigarettes. She's like, please let me have a cigarette. And they're like, no. But I guess they're like, we have to believe you because we have another American captive who also claims that he's being hunted. Mm. Don, who is the guy who basically told Uga Pants, you have to take a gun. Who's like an older, bearded, you know, American guy. And they bring out Don. He's like, ha ha, well, I was telling the truth, motherfuckers. Like, see, backing me up. And she's like, yeah, I know. I saw Don. I was hunted like him.
Yes.
So just then, an American named Oliver rolls up in a car to take them to the American embassy. So the Croatian officials are like, get the fuck out of here. You know, like, we're not dealing with
I'm not
whatever
dealing
the hell
with
you're
this.
Talking about this. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
So he's in the car, and Oliver's like, oh, my God, this is insane. Once we get to the embassy, you can call your families. I'm so sorry this happened to you. But then Allison, he sort of tips his hand. He says, I mean, like, why do they think they targeted you specifically? Like, there has to be, like, some reason it's you guys. And, of course, Crystal's a fucking dummy.
Yeah, so she knows.
Yeah, he's, again, like, he's revealing, pulling away the veil. As he talks, Crystal, like, grabs the bar above the door and pulls her legs up to her chest while he's prattling on, turns, and then kicks him so hard he flies out of the car. She, like, rolls over into the driver's side while Don's in the back seat screaming. He's like, why the fuck did you do that?
Because he's going to kill us. Like,
she throws the car to reverse and drives back over Oliver's head, crushing it.
Amazing.
While Don is screaming, what are you doing? Why did you kill the guy from the embassy? He just doesn't get it. He stops the car when Don's practically puking, but when she gets out, she throws open the trunk. We see Gary's murdered body. So Gary has a knife in his forehead, just in this trunk. He has been murdered. And then Allison, there's something else in the trunk that really just dropped my jaw. And it is a plastic box of cash. And on the top, it says, bribe money. And look, okay, I think we probably could have put two and two together, box of cash, figure out we're doing something nefarious with it.
Yeah.
So I did appreciate it. I just maybe not at that moment. Maybe a little later in the movie.
It's a bit on the nose.
Right, like, we're still in a moment where, like, it is sort of like, what is happening, whatever. And then to see the bribe on me, like, I want to be a fly on the wall during that conversation with the props department.
Yeah,
like,
they're like,
we need a piece of tape.
Write this.
That says bribe money. So they're going through it and they find a map, basically lists all the 11 captives and they're already dead. So the only two captives that are alive are Crystal and Don.
Okay.
And they also realize that the map is a map to the compound where the elite are staying, right? Essentially the manor from Manor Gate is just in Croatia, you know. And Don says, doesn't this seem like too easy? Like, they obviously want us to go there and find them. Mm-hmm. And Crystal says, well, it depends on whether they're smart pretending to be idiots or idiots pretending to be smart. And Don
says, very good distinction.
Yeah, he's like, okay, well, I'll tell you what I think we should do. Take the car and just fucking drive over the border. Like, just drive as far west
as it'll go.
And just end up wherever, and then we'll figure it out, you know? But then Crystal tells the story where it's the jackrabbit and the box turtle. And again, kudos to Betty Gilpin. It is essentially the story of the rabbit and the hare, right? Yes. Famously, the rabbit's, oh, so cocky. I'm going to beat this.
I'm fast.
Yeah, the jackrabbit is like, I'm so much faster than the box turtle. I can actually take a nap in the middle of this race. Takes a nap, wakes up, realizes, blew it. And then the box turtle wins the race. Slow and steady wins the race. The jackrabbit got too full of itself. In this version, she said her mother would tell her, the jackrabbit shows up at the night of the race where the box turtle and his wife and children are having dinner. and murders all the turtles with a hammer.
Once the whole family's broken into little pieces, he sits down and eats their dinner.
And I'm imagining those turtle dinners are lettuce.
Lettuce? They like salads.
And she says, the reason that that happened is because the jackrabbit always wins. And then she turns and she pulls the knife out of Gary's forehead. And Don says, your mom told you that story? Which I didn't think was fun. But then he asks, okay, so which one are we? Are we the box turtle or are we the jackrabbit? Like, what the fuck are you talking
right,
about?
Right, what is this metaphor?
Before she can answer Allison, that little pig in the dress from the box, who the elites we hear refer to as Orwell, again, another reference to George Orwell.
We get it.
Over the walkie-talkies, runs out of the woods squealing. And at this point, Allison, I would like to ask you the question, who will survive?
Who will survive?
Crystal is going to survive. I think Don's going to die. I think Crystal's going to, just from the trailer, and I think she's going to kill Hillary Swank.
It's a pretty safe bet, I'm going to be honest. Do you think Don's going to die?
I think Don's going to die.
Okay, great.
I think she'll be kind of like a last man standing.
Yeah. Over in the compound where they have decided to go, we see the elites are waiting for Oliver to bring Don and Crystal. And they are, of course, engaging in white liberal chatter. One of them's like, oh, my God, Ava DuVernay liked my tweet. I met her. Like, no big deal. Like, oh, you're friends with her? I actually hung out with her.
Oh, my God.
And one of the guys they start talking to, they're like, oh, you know, he's like, yeah, I was in Haiti, you know, and, like, working for an AIDS nonprofit. And they're like, oh, yeah, we all know you got that girl pregnant down there.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, listen, I fell in love. And they're sort of arguing. It's like, well, I hope that you figured out, asked if she was pro-choice before, you know, you got her pregnant. Like, they're having, again, like, a very not particularly thought out bit of dialogue.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But it's sort of like, we're just saying, like, these are liberals who, again, like, they're right thinking or they believe certain things, but then are unscrupulous in their real lives, yes, as we see from the fact that they are hunting humans for sport. Yes.
That's kind of all you need to know.
Right, yeah. It's like, we can talk about NPR all damn day. They're hunting human beings. Like, they're pieces of shit.
That's that.
But they're being aided by their consultant, Sergeant Dale, who is someone who's actually from the military and is like, everyone shut the fuck up. Like, this is a military operation. Just don't be gabbing. Like, yeah. But they're saying, like, well, they're going to be in a car. Like, we're going to hear the car.
Yeah.
And Athena's at a separate location. She calls them and tells them to shut up as well. And Richard says, okay, well, they'll be here soon. I'm going to go out and take a piss. He has a helmet light on, and he goes outside to pee. Again, if you're an elite, I just got to think that there's a bathroom for you, right?
Right. They're in a manor.
He decides he's peeing against a tree. It's dark, it's pitch dark outside. And when he hears the sound, he turns, and in his lamplight, we see Don holding Orwell the pig. And Don asks, hey, is this your pig? And in the moment where Richard's a surprise, Crystal steps out of the darkness and slits Richard's throat.
Oh, boy.
And he dies gagging on his blood.
Oh, my God.
Inside, everyone hears a sound and sort of gets in position. And as soon as a creature enters the sort of bunker they have built, it is Orwell the pig. So they unload all of this ammunition on the pig.
Oh, R.I.P. Orwell.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Pig Orwell.
R.I.P. Pig.
It is, of course, total mayhem. They're like, oh, my God. And then we see a bullet rip through one of the guys, Peter's skull, killing him. And Crystal has popped out into one of the doorway. And again, like in a moment, an action moment that I want, she says, hey, bitch. That's it. That's
great.
Again, like,
I'm obsessed with her.
Worth watching. Worth fucking watching. She, of course, decimates them. She has the skills. She's fighting them. She ends up firing an arrow into one of the female elite's chest. Like, she is fist fighting Sergeant Dale, who is huge. And then eventually she reaches up and rips a pipe out of the ceiling and then just beating him in the head with it until he falls unconscious. It is excellent.
So hard.
Liberty, the woman who has the arrow in her chest, calls her a fucking hick. And right then Don pops out and was like, oh, sorry. Thanks for handling this. And she's like, thank you for just hiding, you dumb motherfucker.
Jesus.
She's about to dispatch Liberty and Don's like, you don't have to just kill her. It's like, why? I killed everyone else. It's like, well, because she's a girl. She's a woman. We should at least ask her questions. We didn't even get a chance to ask that guy Oliver before you murdered him. Like, let's ask her what's going on.
I am with Don in the questions. Yeah. It's like, well, before, like, if you're going to kill her either way, why don't we at least get some information out of her before?
And he said, and she says, okay, go ahead. You're right. I didn't let you ask Oliver, but I will give you this opportunity. And so Don turns to Liberty and says, why are you doing this? And Liberty says, because Jesus told me to. And Crystal, again, raises her gun, and Don says, do not shoot her. Again, she's a woman. It just doesn't seem right. And Crystal says, again, in a moment of white feminism, she says to Liberty, do you think you should be afforded the mercy of being alive just because you're a girl? And Liberty says, well, no. And so Crystal shoots her in the head.
Great.
And that is equality.
Yes.
Equality in being killed during this movie.
Yeah.
Allison, just then, we hear Athena call in on one of the walkie-talkies, and she says, Don, is she dead yet? And Don and Crystal immediately both pull guns on each other. And I'm like, if Don's a bad guy, he would just shoot you. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're pulling guns on it. Don's saying, I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know her. I am not a plant. I swear to you. But in the end, there's a moment of tension and release. Crystal just shoots him.
Great.
And Athena says again, Don, is she dead? And Crystal replies to Walkie Talkie, says, no, no, Don's dead. I did it. And Athena says, well, then you better come find me, huh? Before she does, we see that Sergeant Dale is barely alive. And Crystal then pumps him for information about, like, what he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I was a consultant. I've been training Athena for 8 months. Be very careful. She is insane. And she's very talented. And she's like, so they hired you? Are you a military guy? And he's like, yeah, I work for the National Guard. And she's like, I was in Afghanistan. I actually was in the shit. And you weren't?
Right.
And meanwhile, he's laying there bleeding out, and he goes, I'm in the shit now. She's like, you know what? That's a great way to look
at it.
That's
very true.
And he makes the point. He's like, you should just fucking leave. Like, just go be alive. Like, you won. Don't go find Athena and risk death again.
Right.
And she has this is, again, Betty Gilpin. She's like, the problem is that I'm like this. By which, and she does this, like, incredible, like, bug-eyed fucking, like, Roddy Piper, like, I am a killing machine. Like, yes. I am here shooting a gun, you know. It's like, I'm like this, and I work at a car rental place. There's not a lot of room for that. So I feel like, oh, well, this is my opportunity to be. And she goes like this and kind of, like, bugs her eyes out and, like, points. Like, this part of me, there's no outlet for. So now I am going to release it.
Yes.
And Dale's like, I guess I understand that. And then she fucking shoots Dale in the head.
Yeah, I mean.
She's dispatching
She's
people.
On a journey.
Yeah. Cut to Allison 1 year ago. And we see Athena is meeting with her counsel at work, Paul and Nicole. It turns out that Martin, who was on the elite chat, group chat, got hacked. And their texts about Manorgate were leaked. The thing is, Allison, they were joking at the time.
Oh,
it was a joke. They're like, ugh, we're the elites, you know.
Right.
People, I can't wait to hunt these deplorables. Exactly. Yes. But it then created this huge, vast online conspiracy theory, and everyone
do.
And so everyone on the chat, except for Athena, has had to step down because of this joke. It's just the climate, and that's true, it was a heated climate.
Yes.
And they're like, well, you know, people think you have a manor because you bought that manor in Vermont. She's like, it's not a manor. It's a three-bedroom home. I don't how you can't use a manor.
It's a house on some land. Like,
she's laughing like, that's ridiculous. And he's like, we are not joking. You should not have used the word deplorables. Everyone's on Tinder hooks right now, you know. And basically you find out everyone else in the tech side has had to resign from their company, their position, their, you know, their any public life, essentially. And they're telling her, you have to resign too. Or you're going to take down this whole fucking company and we refuse to do it. And legal's behind us. So don't even try to fight us. Mm-hmm. But of course, she tried to defend herself. It's like, who actually believes this? Who's actually online saying this? They're like, a lot of people believe this. And she stands up and screams, what people actually believe? I'm hunting people at my Vermont manor. Cut to 8 months ago. So 4 months later, all the elites, including Mike, who is playing one of the refugees, are in Athena's home. And also Hillary Swank is like, because she's already jacked, is literally lifting weights like furious. And they are looking up particular posts of people who are propagating this conspiracy theory.
Okay.
All of them are, of course, the people they're going to end up kidnapping.
Yes, of course. This is why you shouldn't say things online.
Yes, exactly. And but to be fair, like, you know, Dale tells them, because they've already hired Sergeant Dale, it's like, I'll be honest, you really can't get more than 12. We can't have everybody who's left a comment.
Yeah.
So pick just your faves. And then they get to, they're going through and they get to, they almost pick a black person and they're like, we cannot, I'm like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, they're still having, like, they're trying yes. to be appropriate. It's like, all oh, right, guilt well, we of it can't. All, yeah. yeah, exactly. And they're like having these, you know, sort of try to have a woke argument about who they're going to murder, basically. And they start to read Crystal's post, which she wrote under the username Justice for Y'all. And it starts, fuck this bitch. Like, this woman is killing innocent men and women and going out. And Adia says, no, I've seen enough. She is our snowball. Mm. Back in the present, we see Crystal has arrived at Athena's manor and is armed. And through the intercom, Athena says, leave the gun in the mailbox. Crystal says, why would I do that? That's insane. I'm not going to come in there without a gun.
Yeah.
And Athena says, you can, if you choose to stand there, I will detonate the charge that you're standing over right now. Put the gun in the mailbox or I will blow you up immediately. Yeah. So she puts it in and the gate is open. She walks inside. We see, again, it's not a manor. It's a beautiful home. It is a Nancy Meyers level house. You know what I mean?
It looks great.
I mean, a manor for us, for a rich person. A nice house you own in Croatia. You know, it's just like, I have property in Croatia. I'm going to go there. You know,
it's
going to
have an open kitchen.
And we end up in the fucking kitchen. But as we were walking towards the kitchen, we see basically they have all the photos of all of the captives that they abducted. And I think, again, like, it is kind of muddled. We see, like, Jared with his podcast. But then we see, like, Big Red with, like, an anti-gay sign. And I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah, bitch, bye. Like, it's different. But it's like, okay, you posted one thing, whatever.
Right.
If you're at rallies, I don't know, man. Like, that's
a
not
very...
that you should be abducted and kidnapped. But I'm just sort of like, oh, you are a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different conversation.
Yes, that's a very different thing than, like, being a little conspiracy theory about, like, how certain political things work.
Yeah, and also in her defense, it does seem like you guys do this. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, was she wrong to propagate what at the time was a conspiracy theory?
Right, so, but turned real.
And so she walks into, again, beautiful open concept. And Hilary Swank gets her moment. I don't know if she's the villain. I think, like, Hilary Swank is born to be a hero. Like, I want to see her lift weights. And then, much like Betty Gilpin, I want to see them... like
just kick ass,
and they will. But Hilary Swank is to me a hero energy. She is not.
She's not.
I wasn't
villain.
Buying it. She's too earnest.
Yeah.
You know. But she gets like a series of lovely little monologues where she's saying like she's popped open one of the bottles of incredibly expensive champagne.
I mean, I want to try it.
it sounds incredible. And she's like, you know, people don't say this enough, but the way to cut a tomato. The best way is really with a bread knife. And she's like getting a bread knife and like cutting a beautiful tomato.
Correct.
So people don't talk about that. Crystal, of course, is thinking, what the fuck is going on? But of course, Athena is sort of putting her back, you know, on her heels, you know, sort of disarming her. And Athena says, wow, so you killed Don because I convinced you he was with us, huh? Wow, you really are easily manipulated. But of course, Crystal doesn't want to believe that and says, Don was with you. I believe that he was with you. Athena's like, well, you'll never know, will you? But you did kill him, you know? And Athena sort of just like talks to her and it's like, basically talks down to her. It's like, look, you're an American. The country belongs to the uneducated and ignorant as much as me, the educated and elite. Okay, it's your country. But I think this is a good example of like you wanted it to be true, so you decided to make it true. You wanted Don to be on our side, so you killed him, and that made him on our side. Mm-hmm. You wanted the conspiracy theory to be true, so you decided to make it true. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. Chris was like, yeah, but you are doing it.
Right.
And so I think we're also playing with the idea of like, oh, and there are these people there where it's like, if you get attacked online, you're going to double down and then become, you're going to become racist. You're going to become a TERF. You're going to become like, well, I had to do, they made me do this, you know, which we all understand is horseshit, but that's what Athena's like, I never would have done this if you guys hadn't attacked us. You know, it's like, it's like, again, like,
not
I'm
a defense.
Victim. you guys victimized us, you know, rather than, maybe it wasn't true, but you all did this, so you are horrible people in the world.
Also, you're as persuadable as the people you're hunting, because it's like all they had to do was like, they're like, this must be true, and it's like, fine, let's do it.
Right, like how weak you must be mentally, right? So Crystal's like, they're having this sort of tete-a-tete, obviously. And Crystal says, here's the thing, though, Athena. You actually got the wrong Crystal May Creasy. And Athena's like, no, I know your father died in a meth lab explosion. Your mother was an addict. You dropped out of school at 12. You enlisted. Your life is shit. You were, you know, like, I know everything about you. It's like, no, there's actually someone with this almost exact same name who lives in my town. My father never did drugs, and my mother is still alive. I never left that comment. I'm not justice for y'all. I didn't say any of that. You fucked up. So now, of course, Athena's like, no, we didn't. We couldn't have made that mistake.
They don't make mistakes.
And they're standing, you know, across from each other. And Crystal says, now, and of course, there's Beethoven. Like, again, as they have this, like, stare off. And she said, do I have to keep listening to Beethoven? Or can we get on with it? And she fucking grabs a knife out of the butcher block. And then it is just hardcore fucking fist fighting. Oh, and that's what we are. I mean, like, it was all worth it.
That's what you want at the end of this.
Betty Gilpin. Hillary Swank fucking hand to hand. We're talking
knife.
Like,
knives.
Thrown over the kitchen island. Knives stabbed through Crystal's hand. Fucking frying pans. Of course, a shotgun gets pulled into it.
Of course.
And they are brawling to the point that they throw each other through the sliding glass door. And Crystal's about to throw Athena through another door. And she says, not more glass. I can't do more glass. So she kind of like throws her the other way. It's great. It's exactly amazing. What you want. And it's just perfect. Like, they're, again, broken glass. They are cut to hell. And they finally make it back into the kitchen where they're brawling. And Athena grabs, like, a blender has been shattered on the ground. Grabs the blade from inside a blender.
Oh my God, so
which
sharp.
Is so scary. Yes.
That's so sharp.
Ah! And grabs it and rams it into Crystal's torso.
Ooh.
Before kicking her ass to the ground. But then Crystal rears up and grabs Athena and basically like slams her torso so that the other side of the blade stabs itself into Athena's torso.
Oh my God.
So they are both stabbed and hooked onto these curved blades. And then they collapse and fall to the ground. And they're both, like, profusely bleeding out at this point. And they're there. And Crystal says, so why did you call me Snowball? And, you know, and Athena says, it's a pig from George Orwell's Animal Farm. It's like, yeah, I know.
But why am I Snowball? Snowball is an idealist. He wants to make the world a better place. That's why the other pigs make up lies about him. Turn him into the enemy. I think you should be Snowball.
And Athena says, you've read George Orwell's Animal Farm? And I will say, as someone who went to public school, everyone has to read Animal Farm.
Yes.
That is like the number one book. They do like, oh my God, you've read this book? The book you read in ninth grade?
School. Yeah.
Right? Like, everyone has read Animal Farm.
Part of like English and government and social studies curriculum everywhere.
And also, I don't think they necessarily properly answer like why her? I guess it's just like Athena was so like immediately saw her comment and was like, you are this character and I'm going to sort of like imbue you with meaning. But then it ends up it wasn't her to begin with. So
yeah.
And then, you know, in turn, Athena asked her a question, like, just be honest with me. We're both going to die here. Are you really the correct justice for all? Were you lying? And Crystal says, no, I'm really not that woman. And Athena dies.
Wow.
And we see the doors open and Crystal sees a little rabbit running up to the door. And I think it's like that a rabbit of hope. And she gets up. And I don't know if you should do this. So I obviously, please don't do this. And if you're a doctor, I'm assuming you'd say not do this. In order to survive, Crystal gets up and grabs a brûlée torch and cauterizes the wound in her torso to close it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which I guess you have to do.
I guess.
Thus surviving. And as we conclude, we sort of see her put on like this incredible black dress. I mean, Betty Gilpin, kill me. And she takes Athena's dog because she doesn't want to leave the dog. And she grabs the rest of the expensive champagne and there's a private jet, there's a private field behind the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the pilot and the flight attendant see her walk in and they're like, oh no.
Such a scary thing to see walking towards you.
And of course, she's all bloody. Like, she's all fucked up. I mean, she looks great, but she's all fucked up. And she's like, your boss has tried to kill me, and I killed all of them. So now I want you to fly me back home. And if you do that, I won't kill you. And she, of course, has a gun in her hand.
Yeah.
And the flight attendant, the pilot goes, okay, that seems fair. And the pilot goes to take off, and the flight attendant says, do you want me to pour that champagne for you? And we also have caviar. And Crystal says, yeah, come eat the caviar with me. Have you ever had any? My dad says, no, I've never got to try it. So we sit down, and as she watches, Crystal just starts chugging this insanely expensive champagne as the flight attendant watches her do it. And she says, well, how is it? And Crystal says, honestly, it's fucking great. The Hunt.
Oh. Great.
A blast. Again, not scary. Fun. What? Betty Gilpin.
Betty Gilpin.
And so I just wanted to reference something that happened. Again, we're recording this. This is Friday, April 7th. What a fucking week in news. But I just felt like watching The Hunt, of course, what it brought to mind is the fact that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas
yes.
has been jet-setting around the world on lavish fucking gift vacations.
Cigars, jackets, Thailand, like...
Insane. And the person sponsoring it is named Harlan Crow, which we made a joke on Love It or Leave It, which is my joke, and it was true, which is if you meet someone named Harlan Crow and he shakes your hand and says, I'm going to take you someplace nice, that is the devil.
Yep.
And you have made a deal with him.
Absolutely.
And you're thinking, me and Jitty are going to have the time of our fucking lives. In reality, it's going to be a monkey's paw situation.
Yes, absolutely.
You
know what I mean? Like,
you can go anywhere, but then when you die, you have to wander the earth.
Yes.
Your soul is trapped or something like that.
Something.
You know what I mean? And also, I just want to say, please read it. Let me find the article of where it sort of lays out everything that – and again, like, I guess there's just – because you're elected, you're put on the Supreme Court
yeah.
for life, there doesn't seem to be what I would describe as a appropriate – process
no
for dealing with this. Oh, this ProPublica did this incredible report. This is for from April 5th. If you haven't read it, it's definitely worth it. But yeah, a billionaire Republican took one of our Supreme Court justices on fucking the most incredible
lavish.
Vacations over the last fucking 20 years. So this is even yeah. like this was just one vacation,
right,
one
like
time.
One trip to get one thing. It's like, oh, this
which
is a
wouldn't
long...
be good, obviously.
No, that would be awful, but like the more, the worse, I guess.
Yeah. And again, like, as if we are to not to believe the fact that he is flying him and his wife, all expenses paid, to Indonesia. Like, I'm sure the shit that they have seen, the places they get to go, I'm sure we could not understand it. And then today there was a New York Times article where basically Clarence Thomas is saying, and I guess he has to say, is like, well, I was told that I didn't have to report that kind of stuff. It's like, someone told me that I didn't have to do it.
In what world?
Just apparently,
in what world would that be true?
And here's this, early in, one time 20 years ago, in my tenure at the court, this is Clarence Thomas, sorry, in the New York Times, the article is, Justice Thomas says he was advised lavish gifts didn't need to be reported. And this was published by Abby Van Sickle. And on April 7th, and he says, early in my tenure at the court, I sought guidance from my colleagues and others in the judiciary, and was advised that this sort of personal hospitality from close personal friends who did not have business before the court was not reportable.
Mm.
And it's like, so nope. You ask the other judges who now I'm like, well, they gave you bad advice, and others yep. in the judiciary, then they're all corrupt. And I was advised, the fact you were close personal friends has nothing to fucking do with it. You can be yeah. close personal friends with Adolf Hitler. It doesn't mean you're
yeah.
friends. Okay, this makes it okay. And to say, to be a billionaire for 20 years and a Republican and say that you have not touched something that came before the Supreme Court, I don't believe that for a goddamn
Absolutely
second.
Absolutely not.
You are not taking Clarence Thomas on all expenses paid vacations if you do
right.
not want to influence him. I'm
you're not
sorry.
Like, oh, he's just such a good hang.
Exactly.
Like, no, you wanted
party.
Something.
Yeah, he's
whatever
a party
that
guy.
Was, you wanted something.
Oh, and the reason that I wanted to connect to this movie is that he one of the places they went, which again was reported in ProPublica and New York Times, they went to Bohemian Grove, which is an exclusive all-male retreat nestled in the redwoods of Northern California. And what's interesting about Bohemian Grove is like people connected to all of these conspiracy theories.
Mm.
So it's sort of seen as
I
like
can see
this
that.
Is a bastion of the Illuminati, like these are where ritual go to sort of collude. And here's the thing, and I think we've said this before about the Illuminati. The Illuminati is just an unnecessary layer to the fact that rich people control everything.
Yes.
So the idea that, like, oh my God, like, what did they get up to there? They talk about how they control society. But that's not the Illuminati. It's not some mystery. It's not a conspiracy theory. That's right. Literally what they're doing.
Right.
He had to say that he agreed that he went there. I mean, like,
yeah.
It's like, we don't need the trappings. I don't know whether it's like, as humans, we think it's more fun or like, I don't know what it is. But it's like, no, they're just hanging out and being like, how do we control society? Especially yes. Republicans. It's like, they've been talking about like, well, how do we get rid of Roe versus Wade?
Yes.
That's what they're talking about there.
For years.
Anyways, Allison, what were some fatal mistakes that people made in the movie The Hunt?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, them getting the wrong crystal
yeah.
is the reason they're all dead. Because I don't yeah. know that another crystal, like, even if she also had military, like, you just don't, I mean, Betty Gilpin's just such a badass in it that it's like, oh, someone might have stopped someone else, but you weren't going to stop her.
Yeah, and I think, again, I do like the idea of, like, her life is so small that she's yeah. like, now that I'm here, I absolutely have to go fucking Rambo on the, like, I can't not have my moment.
Right.
I work at a car rental place. Please let me fucking kick ass.
Fuck some people up.
It reminds me of You're Next, where we find out our protagonist was raised in a survivalist cult, and there's just, yeah. or like a compound, and there's no way they could have known that, and she just has all of these incredible skills.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
That's fun.
And then other than that, I mean, yeah, being, blaming other people for your actions.
Yes. But
being like, people were mean to me online, so like I had to double down and become a horrible person.
Kill everyone.
We're not doing that anymore. Nobody believes, like, it is transparent when people do that. Like, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
And similarly, it's like, as someone who, until recently, I would consider myself a liberal, there are absolutely people where it's like, I believe the right things, but also I absolutely have done horrible things and I rationalize it to myself, mm-hmm. you know? And so those people do exist. This is obviously a parody thereof. But yeah, I feel like other than that, Crystal did the best she could. I mean,
yeah,
she
Crystal
really stepped
did a great
up.
Job.
She made no mistakes, basically.
Yeah.
And then finally, where would you place The Hunt on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think because the body count is so high and the violence is so intense, even though this isn't scary, I want to give it a 2 instead of anything low. Because, like, it is a bloody movie.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm going to give it a 0. I think the only moment where I was like, oh, this could be good is when you see Emma Roberts with a gag in her mouth waking up in a clearing.
Yeah, that's a scary moment.
Yeah. But other than that, I think because it's kind of goofy and, you know, we have these moments of levity, it always brings down the number. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I really want to see Betty Gilpin fucking kick ass.
Me too.
In another
Go
setting.
Get her book.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, worth a gander, but definitely not scary in any conventional sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I also want to say the name of that ProPublica article is Clarence Thomas and the Billionaire, and it's by Joshua Kaplan, Justin Elliott, and Alex Mirjeski. And it was published April 6th, in case you wanted to read it. And it's worth a read, my friend. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Yes. We hope you enjoyed this as we've continued Political Month. But, of course, every horror movie is political because, and I hate to say this.
Everything is.
Everything is everything. Everything is important. That's the problem with everything else. It is.
Yeah.
Everything is important. It's all important. But thank you for listening to this podcast and listening to us. And we think that you are important as well.
Yes.
And until next time, please keep it spooky.
Keep it hunt.
Keep it hunt.
Keep it hunt.
Serving hunt.
Serving hunt. Ruin is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati. Follow at Ruin Podcast on Instagram and Twitter for show updates, and at The Radio Point and at Crooked Media for more original content.